I invite you to take God's word and turn with me to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. I do hope that you had a wonderful Christmas and enjoyed time with those that you love yesterday. Always good when we get extended time with family and friends. And I'm really glad that you've chosen to worship with us today on this last weekend in 2021. You know, a year from today, many of us, I hope, you will join me on the trip of a lifetime to the Holy Land. If you've never been, I want to encourage you. You can go online and see the information there, but we'll leave the day after Christmas and go over, and we'll probably take somewhere around 150 or 200 people, and we can take more if the more want to go, but it's a great Christmas gift, a great thing to sign up for, begin saving for. We'll have some informational meetings coming up here in the new year, but I'm telling you, it's something else to be in the Holy Land around this time, right after Christmas, and to be in the holy city of Jerusalem at New Year's and watch fireworks go off over that city. It is awesome to walk where Jesus walked. It's like, the only way I know to describe it, it's like student camp for adults, all right? We have a good time, and you can bring your children, and we'll tell you a little bit more about it, but it makes the Bible come alive, and I hope that if you're able and willing and want to, that you'll go with us on this trip next year. But before we get there, before we just jump into 2022, I do want to tell you, church, just express one more time just my gratitude to you. My family and I, we love spending our first Christmas here in Houston, and we're just so glad to be here at Champion Forest, the way that you've loved us and received us. I told a group the other day, that it was a couple of weeks ago, we were just sitting in here in worship, and my wife leaned up to me and she said, "I love our church." And that's our heart. That's how we feel about you. And God has given us such an incredible year here. Amazing what he's done. And I can't recount everything, but here are some things, and it's good to look back and say thank you and praise God for what he's done. We've brought some incredible teammates to join our team, people like Darrell, who just led us in worship, John Wills, our global missions pastor, who's running with our residency program and our church planning initiative called CF Connect, Jeff Young, our executive pastor, that's just to name a few. We celebrated our 50th anniversary as a church this year, actually in our 51st year, but COVID, squelched the 50 birthday party, so we threw it this year. That was back in August, and it was great to see so many people who have a history with Champion Forest come in town and just celebrate the faithfulness of God in this body of believers over the last 50 years. We casted the vision for our residency program that's named in Damon Shook's honor. Of course, Pastor Shook was here for nearly 30 years and is known and loved by all who sat under his leadership. And so we created a residency program in his name with the goal of training up young seminary students in the spirit of Damon Shook, people who were passionate about God's word, love the local church, loves missions and evangelism. And so I'm happy to announce that beginning in January, we'll have our first three residents. These will be seminary students that join our team. They'll be working on their seminary degree while they're working here on our church. We'll have 12 more that will join them in between May and August. They're waiting on school to graduate. And our goal will be to have 20 by the end of the year, 20 residents working on our team, serving our church. And our goal is to send them out after their seminary experience and time here, either raise them up in our organization or send them out. And what started is just a vision on our hearts. You have faithfully given to and allowed us to run with, and we're going to see it this next year in 2022. We'll have some 20 residents on our team serving this local church, and that's great to see. Our CF Connect, which is a ministry designed to help pastors get the help that they need if they're burnt out or if they're discouraged. We're also training them up, giving them resources, helping them come and learn from our team here, and we're working together to plant churches all over North America. We had our first gathering this past November. You'll see a picture of it on your screen. We brought in nearly 70 pastors from all over North America. I'm talking all over North America, from as far as Seattle to Montreal, to Miami and everywhere in between, New York, Las Vegas. These pastors came in. We spent a day at the Lanier Library, which have been incredible partners to us and will be through our residency program and the CF Connect. And we just spent 2 days with these pastors, and I'm telling you, they refueled, they refired, and they're ready to go back to their cities to lead. And you're going to see more and more and more of this in the future. In fact, this is a bilingual, many of you know, we are very passionate about our Spanish congregation that meets right after this, and we will have in January 10 pastors in training for Spanish churches, and we're going to train them up and send them out. And listen, this is already, I'm just taking a little time to celebrate what God's doing, because we can kind of take a breather here at the end of the year, but we had a pastor at this group from Detroit, and what we learned is that of course, the Hispanic population, Spanish people, speaking people, it's growing all over the United States. And we talked to a number of pastors that are in these major cities across America that want to start Hispanic works. They see what Champion Forest has done. It inspires them. And one of the pastors that we have in our Spanish training connected with a pastor from Detroit, and they have agreed to go in partnership together, and he's going to leave at the end of next year and go to Detroit and help start a Spanish work there. So I just tell you, Champion Force, you're making a difference, and it's ministries like these that you've believed in, that you've given toward, that really are beginning, and you're going to see more and more and more of it in 2022. We launched our Forward Giving Initiative. That raised nearly $9 million to go toward renovations, mainly here at our Champions campus. And so we're going to be bringing you plans here in the new year as to what that's going to look like, just upgrading our children's ministry, our student building, our main atrium out here, updating our prayer room. We're going to do some re-officing, reallocation. And so thank you so much for just how you're supporting the mission and vision of this church. We just came off Christmas Spectacular, where we saw over 1,100 decisions for Christ. And then just what we said today, 650 baptisms, our highest in a COVID year. And so God has been so very good to us. And I'm praying that 2022 will be more of the same. He has blessed us. And this is what I want to talk about in the message today from Psalm chapter 1. It's a message, if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write it down. I'm calling a blessed life. This is what Psalm 1 is all about. I want to read it, and then we'll come back and look at it in detail. The scripture says this: "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they're like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." I know for many of us, the turning of a calendar page will begin resolution time for us, right? We'll start thinking about, all right, I need to eat better. I need to get in shape. For others, it'll be about dropping a bad habit or learning something new. I'm going to do my very best to learn Spanish this year. Wish me luck with that. All right, I'm going all in on it. I was talking to Darrell this week, and he said he needs to do it too. And he also said he needs to learn to play the piano. So I said, look, I'll learn to play the piano and speak in Spanish. You learn to play the piano and speak in Spanish. At the end of the year, we'll have dueling piano thing going, singing in Spanish. Not going to happen, all right? But I'm going to work on the Spanish. We all look for ways this time of year to try to better ourselves, improve our lives, do things that will seemingly make us more successful or happy in life. And that's what the term blessed means here in verse 1. It could read, oh, the happiness of the man, or how very blessed, how extremely fulfilled. There's a certain intensity to it. It's actually written in its plural form. Being from Louisiana, you could translate it like this: happy, happy, happy is the man. This is what, if you're looking for happiness to the uttermost, if you're looking for satisfaction and fulfillment in life, If you're looking to have a blessed life in 2022, Psalm 1 is going to tell us how to attain it. And to make this message as simple as possible, I want to encapsulate what it says in two statements in order for us to have a blessed life in 2022. Here's the first statement is this. You want to have a blessed life in 2022, then avoid sin. Pretty simple, isn't it? I don't have many pet peeves, but one pet peeve I have as a pastor is I never want to be known as that guy who's always against something. I think in our day and time, pastors and churches need to be known more for what they're for than what they're against. I hope when you come in here, you don't see an angry pastor. You know, you bring somebody with you and you leave that day and they go, what's he so angry about, right? I mean, come on. I don't want to be known as angry person. However, if we're to teach this text and learn about it with a clear conscience, we have to preach what it says. And it's very clear here that we are to be against sin. We are to avoid it. Look at what the scripture says, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Write this down. Biblical wisdom has as much to do with what we say no to as it does to what we say yes to. Biblical wisdom has as much to do with what we avoid. It's not legalism, it's holiness. Biblical wisdom says we are to not just pursue some things, which we'll see in just a moment, but we're also to avoid some things. And here it says avoid sin. Now that sounds easy to do, avoid sin. But in the world in which we live, that's a difficult thing to do. I mean, for one, we have this sin nature in us. Our hearts are bent towards sin. We have this enemy outside of us who is always tempting us and luring us away from following God. It seems like sin is chasing us down sometimes. And so avoiding it sounds really good, but how on earth do we do it? Well, we can't avoid it altogether, but we can put ourselves in a position to walk in holiness. It's like Luther said, he said, I can't stop a bird from landing in my head, but I can stop it from building a nest there. And the same is true. We can put ourselves in a position to win spiritually and have a happy and fulfilled and blessed life. I liken it to a football coach. You know, this is bowl season, and all these college football coaches are getting their teams ready to play, certainly those four that are going to be in the playing for the national championship. And the coach can't play the game for the players, but what he can do is put them in a position to win. Well, we can put ourselves in a position to live a blessed life. And there are two primary influences that I think have the strongest effect on us as it relates to avoiding sin. We see them both in this passage of scripture. And if we will handle them in the right way, we can put ourselves in a position here in 2022 to live a blessed life. And listen, they go both ways. These influences can help us win in life, be happy and blessed, or if we're not careful, they can lead us away from God, and we won't be happy and blessed, but instead we'll be miserable and unhappy. Here's the two influences. I'll put them on the screen for you. One is our friends, and the other is our time. Show me who your friends are, who you're hanging out with, who you're associating with. Show me how you're spending your time, what you're giving your time to, and I could pretty much gauge how happy and satisfied and fulfilled in life you will be. Paul in the New Testament wrote of the wisdom of this psalm in 1 Corinthians 15:33 when he says this, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." Solomon, the wisest person to ever live, listen to what he says, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companions of fools will suffer harm." The unhappy man, man who is miserable, you can oftentimes look at his life and he's friends with the ungodly man. This is who he listens to. This is where he gets his counsel from. This is who he spends the majority of his time with. Did you notice the downward progression there in verse 1? Look at it. He goes from walking with the ungodly just listening to them, to standing with them, loitering around with them, to sitting with them. It's this downward progression. It's been said that sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And it's true. We listen to those we spend time with. And these two things, who our friends are and how we spend our time, will determine to a large degree how blessed our life is going to be. I mean, it sounds so simple, doesn't it? Like, this is something that I tell my kids. Show me who your friends are. I'll show you who you are. I often illustrate it like this. Brady Holcomb, come on up here, bud. Come on up here. You got this. He has no idea I'm doing this. His daddy's over there straightening his hair. Come on up here. This is Brady Holcomb. Give it up for Brady Holcomb, everybody. Brady, how you doing, man? Did you have a good Christmas?
Yes, sir.
It was good? Come on right over here so everybody can see. How old are you, Brady?
I'm 10.
10 years old? All right. What school do you go to?
I go to Kinley Elementary.
You like it? Mm-hmm. All right. That's good that you said that. We might have some teachers or administrators here, okay? I tell my kids, watch your associations. Guard your associations. Watch who you're listening to. And it's easier for somebody to pull you down than for you to pull them up. I illustrate it like this. Bray, you stay right here. I'm going to stand in this chair right here. Now, give me your hand. You think it's easier for me to pull him up, and let me tell you, I outweigh Brady by a lot, all right? It doesn't matter how much, but by a lot. Is it easier for me to pull him up or for him to pull me down? Every single time. Don't jerk it too hard because I'll fall, okay? Easier. Every single time, it's easier to get pulled down. And what's true in a silly illustration like this is true in all of life. Thanks for helping me out, Brady. Y'all give Brady a hand. Thanks, buddy. He had no idea he was doing that. So guard your associations. What we learn in this psalm is that blessing and happiness, it doesn't come from how much we have. It doesn't come from what the world thinks of us, what our position or title is. It doesn't come with the mountains we climb, the achievements in our life. And listen, we know this to be true, don't we? I mean, we can look around in our world and we can see people who have it all and they're absolutely miserable. I mean, this is some of your story. You have it all, but you're miserable on the inside. This is not where blessedness and happiness comes from, all of these outward things. It comes from being in a right relationship with God. This is where it all starts. Whenever we see this term blessed in the scripture, it always has to do with someone who is in a right relationship with God. That's who's blessed. But not only in a right relationship with God, because we have many Christians who are in a right relationship with God positionally. They know God. They're a believer. They're following Jesus with their heart. They have surrendered their life to him, but they're miserable because they're not walking in holiness with him. So blessedness comes from being in a right relationship with God and then in following him, walking with him. So mark this, highlight it. True blessedness, true happiness comes from being rightly related to God and then avoiding anything, not welcoming anything in our life that is against God or opposed to God. And so I ask again, as we get going this year, you want a blessed life. Who are you hanging around? And how are you spending your time? I'm not telling you not to be friends with Jesus, with outsiders, with believers. Jesus was a friend of sinners. But he didn't endorse their behavior, take their advice, participate in what they were doing. One translation put Psalm 1 like this: don't listen to, linger around, or laugh with those that are opposed to God. You do, and you won't like what it produces in your life. I have in the margins of my Bible, I'm going to talk to you in a moment about engaging in God's Word. And every morning when I spend time with the Lord, I've got an open journal, I've got a pen in my hand. In the margins of my Bible, right next here to Psalm 1, I have this equation right out of Psalm chapter 1. I'll put it on the screen. The company you keep plus the counsel you heed will equal the character you produce. That's good right there. Say, where did you get that? God gave it to me, all right? The company you keep plus the counsel you heed equals the character you produce. We want godly character. We better guard our associations and take note of how we are spending our time. You remember that little song we used to sing as children? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. Careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Little hands, what you do. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. We are to avoid sin. But look, it's not just avoiding something. The psalmist says, you want a blessed life. You guard your associations. You watch out for how you're spending your time. You avoid anything that would oppose the work of God or that would prevent holiness from coming into your life. Avoid the very appearance of it, the scripture says. But we also have to pursue something. See, this is the second statement that we find in Psalm chapter 1. We avoid sin, but we pursue God. Look at verse 2. The contrast is set up. Don't walk, don't stand, don't sit with the wicked, the scoffers, the sinful, but delight. Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Show me a humble man walking with the Lord, pursuing the Lord in an intimate relationship with him, and I will show you a happy and blessed man. There's a sharp contrast that's being developed here. The blessed life is marked by what one avoids, sin, and who one pursues, God. And while we say no to sin, we say yes to God. And when we say yes to God, we're saying yes to his word. The scripture says delight in it, take joy in it. And the law of the Lord, we should interpret that as the whole of Scripture. He says, delight in the law of the Lord. See, we meet God in his word. And it's his word we discover the person of Christ. And that's why there's nothing better than giving your life to God's word. That's why anytime you come here on a Sunday, I promise you, regardless of who's standing here preaching, they're going to preach the word of God. This is where the power is. I'm meeting with a young man right now, a relatively new believer to the faith. And we were just talking about this in our last meeting, about giving our life to God's word. And we're memorizing Romans 10:17 together. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. How does our faith muscle grow in our life? It grows by giving ourselves to God's word. This is why church attendance is so very important. It's why being in a life group is so very important. Because we give ourselves to God's word. So time alone with him, so very important. Listen to how David describes God's word in Psalm 19. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. Anybody need a revival in your own heart and soul this morning? Give yourself to God's word. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, always right, will never lead you astray. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You want to see spiritually? Give yourself to God's word. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And then look at what the psalmist says. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. We're told to meditate on God's word. And there'll be no meditation where we don't delight in God's word. Luther the Reformer, I quoted him earlier, he said this, wrote in one of his lectures regarding the Psalms. One does not meditate on the law of the Lord unless his delight was first fixed in it. For what we want and love, on that we reflect inwardly and diligently. I mean, I think about it in terms of dating my wife Debbie. When we were dating 20 plus years ago, we'd change emails. I don't even think we had text messages back then. We'd exchange emails. And man, I would read through those emails 2 and 3 times. I would delight in getting to know Debbie. Our dating relationship, I'd think about what she said. I would mull over it, think over it, ponder it. I'd meditate on it. Why would I meditate on it? Because I delighted in her. This is what the psalmist is getting to here. Let me give you 4 practical ways that you can delight in God's word. And as I do this, many of you participated in our Essential 100 Bible reading plan that we did last year. We're going to do the same thing again this year. They're going to put it on the screen for you. If you signed up for the Essential 100 Bible reading plan last year, you're already signed up for it this year, okay? You'll have to opt out. But if you want to be in the 100 Bible reading plan, it'll start on Monday, January the 10th. You can just scan that code right there with your phone, and you can opt in right there. And we'll give you plenty of time to do it. We'll send some emails out about it as well. But it's going to be 100 days of getting in God's Word. And this time, last time we read 100 of the most impactful chapters in the Bible, this is going to be 100 days of just the teachings of Jesus. And it divides it up. It's going to be great. So if you want to get in with us, you can do it here. And all of this is to help you build that spiritual muscle of meditating on God's Word. Let me give you four practical ways that you can meditate, delight in God's Word. Number one, pray for it. Pray for it. I want to urge you to start here because there are some, if you're honest, and I get this, we go through seasons like this where you don't long for God's Word like you used to or like you know you should. And rather than go through the motions, I would really encourage you to just be honest with the Lord. He knows your heart anyway. And just say, God, I don't have any feeling in my life right now to do this. I don't sense any urgency in it. I don't desire it. And Lord, I need you to help me desire it. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed that. God, give me a desire for your word. And then you know what my next prayer is? And give me strength to walk in that desire. Because God will give you a desire for his word. But I don't know about you, I need strength to walk in that desire. 176 verses in Psalm 119. 174 of them have to do with knowing God's word, hiding it in your heart, giving your life to it. It's the key to a blessed life. It's where we know God. 1 Peter 2:2 said, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, the word of God, so that by it you may grow up in salvation. The writer of Hebrews, he rebukes his listeners. These were people who had been following the Lord. They knew the scripture. And yet, he says, this time you ought to be teachers, Hebrews 5:12, but you need someone to teach you the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. I mean, if the Spirit of God is speaking this to you today, some of you are on milk, and you should have been on solid food a long time ago. Christmas, we have the kiddie table, right? Adults sit here. Kiddies sit over here. Some of us have been at the kiddie table way too long as it comes to spiritually speaking. It's time to move on up to the adult table. You get the invite. One of the best invites I ever had. Come on, sit at the adult table. Then I wanted to be back at the kiddie table. All right, number two, ponder it. This is what the word meditate means. It carries with it this idea of murmuring. All right, when you memorize something, you just murmur it. You're saying it to yourself over and over and over again. You know what it's like. You get this song in your head, and you just can't get it out. You just murmur it all day, okay, in a lot less aggravating way. This is what it means to know God's word. You're just murmuring it. You're thinking about it. You're pondering it. Read it. Write it down. I can't tell you how important a journal is. And I'm not talking about Dear Diary. I'm talking about getting a notebook and writing down God's word in it. I'm talking about writing down a scripture that just jumps off the page and on your heart and just praying that scripture into your life. It keeps your mind engaged in God's word. This is what it means to ponder the truth of God's word. I really want to encourage you to get that notebook and get started in it. This past year, it's been awesome. I've got two journals from the last 2 years, and I can pull them off the shelf, and it's been incredible this year in my walk with the Lord to be able to look back at where I was last year and where I was the year before and to just see what I was struggling with, to see the victories in my life, to see where God has brought me, to see what I was thinking through, what I was reading. It's a blessing. And so get that journal, chew on it like a cow chewing cud. That's what this word ponder and meditate means over and over and over again. It's not easy. It takes time. In our day, we're activity and busyness. We wake up, man, and the phone's buzzing and social media's there. Alistair Begg and Sinclair Ferguson write in their book, Name Above All Names, regarding meditating on God's word. Listen to this. Being able to think long and lovingly about the Lord Jesus is a dying art. The disciplines required to reflect on him for a prolonged period of time and to be captivated by him have been relegated to a secondary place in contemporary Christian life. Action, rather than meditation, is the order of the day. Sadly, too often that action is not suffused with the grace and power of Christ. In other words, it's being, it's sitting before the Lord that affects our doing. If you're just doing, action, 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 that's a recipe for burnout, spiritual disengagement. You can only give out what you're being poured into, and it starts with God's Word. Third, personalize it. By this, I mean ask the Holy Spirit as you're reading God's Word, God, what do you want to say to me today? What does this word say to me? And when I say personalize it, take it a deep step further and personalize it about Christ. What does this teach me about Jesus today? Because all the Scripture points to Jesus. So what do you want to teach me about yourself today? What do you want me to learn? This morning, I got this book right here. It's a devotional that I read through. One of my mentors gave it to me. He passed away a year ago this month. So grateful he gave this to me. But this morning, you can't put this together. Psalm chapter 1, preaching on it this morning. Had no idea this would be December 26th. Take time with God. It should be the aim of every Christian to set aside a little time each day for quiet communion with God. This is called God's Best Secrets by Andrew Murray. A time for everything. He says, the holy, loving God is indeed worthy of our best time, all of your time. We should live in constant fellowship with him, but each day there should be a special time of quiet when we are with him alone. We need a period of daily time for secret fellowship, time to turn from daily occupation and search our hearts in his presence, time to study his word with reverence and godly fear, time to seek his face and ask him to make himself known to us. He just goes on and on and on, but the whole point of this devotional today was the importance of time alone with the Lord. And so, personalize it. Make it your own. Fourthly, practice it. This is where it becomes yours. This is where the rubber hits the road. We read God's word and we put it into practice. This is when your life takes on a new dimension of being blessed by God. Is when you put God's word into practice. You read the last part of this psalm, it says he knows the way of the righteous. He's intimately acquainted with those that follow his precepts. And so, again, I would just encourage you, go back to that friends in time question. What's true for avoiding sin is the same for pursuing God. Friends can help you in this. It's the importance of life groups, breaking the big church down into small groups. People that know you and love you, can speak the truth to you, and that you can have pray for you and minister to you. So how are you running with Jesus? Do you have friends running with Jesus? Again, this is not just wisdom for kids. It's wisdom for us adults as well. How are you spending your time? Are you filling your mind with God's word or that which is opposite of the things of God? If we want happy and blessed, it starts with avoiding sin and pursuing God. And then just to close this psalm out, and we're bringing this message to a close. You know, Hebrew language is very picturesque. And this psalm closes with giving a beautiful picture. Talk about a picture being worth 1,000 words. I want to show you this picture of an oak tree. And as you look at this picture, I want you to listen to Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. The person who gives his life to God's word, who has a blessed life, who meditates on God's word, delights in God's word, gives himself to God's word. Listen to what it says. He is like a tree. Look at that tree. Stable. Planted by streams of water, it's living, it's productive, it yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. It's consistent in all that he does. He prospers. This is a blessed life. The person who lives according to the word of the Lord, who puts God's word into practice, this is your life, like an oak tree, stable. Jeremiah 17 uses the same imagery. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. You know, the blessed life doesn't mean you're not going to have trials. It doesn't mean you're not going to have struggles. To be blessed doesn't mean you're going to be healthy and wealthy and have no problems. The blessed life It's knowing that when you give your life to God's word, even when you do go through troubles and even when you do go through trials, you're still going to be stable. Your life's still going to be productive, for its leaves remain green, and it's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. This is the man who lives by God's word. But contrast this. He says, the one who puts his word into practice, guards his associations, what he's given his time to, pursues God in this way, this is in the oak tree. But look at this other image. Verses 4 through 6. The wicked are not so, but they're like chaff that the wind drives away. It's light. Has no weight. The sophist wind comes along and blows it down, blows it away. There's no vitality to that. There's no life in that. And the psalmist says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And so look at these two pictures side by side, and you make the choice. Stark difference between these two realities. And you get to make the choice of what your life is going to be like in 2022. Will it be like an oak, stable, vital, and productive, or like chaff that the wind blows away?
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.